From waves of promise to the undertow of political reality, the story of undocumented immigrants in the United States is one of shattered hopes and enduring resilience. Despite peaks and valleys, the number of undocumented immigrants has remained stable since its 2007 peak, standing as a testament to the enduring allure of the American dream. Yet, these tides of migration are not merely dictated by economic currents, they are shaped by the turbulent winds of political discourse. As promise of reform echo through the halls of power with each presidential campaign, the hopes of millions hang in the balance, only to be dashed by the rocks of partisan deadlock. What is going on, everyone? I'm Kevin Munoz. Today is Monday, March 18th. Welcome to the Leo Podcast, your go-to for insightful discussions on various educational topics with a focus on issues impacting the Latin American community. Now, I gotta say, it's great to be back creating new episodes after a brief hiatus. As some of you may have seen on my Instagram, I recently spent a few days in Guatemala, which is why I haven't been able to put out any new content until now. Now, if you're a regular listener of this podcast, chances are you're either a DACA recipient yourself or you're familiar with the DACA program. And you probably know that as DACA recipients, traveling outside the USA can be quite tricky unless we have a special reason approved by USCIS under advanced parole. Well, guess what? I recently had the opportunity to travel back to my home country, Guatemala, through a fantastic nonprofit called Scholar Fund, thanks to their Cultural Leadership Fellowship. So if you're a DACA recipient tuning in right now and you've been itching to travel through advanced parole, I highly recommend checking them out and applying for one of their programs. I'll also be sure to include the link in the description for more information. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I want to give a quick shout out to our fantastic supporters at patreon.com/latinamericaneo. If you want to unlock bonus content and help us keep the episodes coming, join our Palomitas community. And don't worry if you're not a patron yet, you're still in for a treat with this episode packed with great content. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show. Today, we're diving into a topic that's been making headlines for years: undocumented immigration in the United States. We'll specifically be covering an article by Univision published on March 13th titled, "This is How the Undocumented Population in the U.S. is Changing." Now, you might have heard about the peaks and valleys in the number of undocumented immigrants over the past few decades. Back in 2007, about 12.2 million undocumented folks were living in the U.S. But since then, the numbers have kind of plateaued. Why? Well, as it turns out, there are a lot of factors at play. Interestingly enough, if you look at the chart provided in the article, you'll notice that the periods of high immigration often coincide with times of economic prosperity. When times are good, like in the late 90s and early 2000s, more people tend to come looking for work in sectors like agriculture, construction, and services. But when things slow down, so does immigration. Another interesting factor is the promise of immigration reform during presidential campaigns. Candidates like George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and even Joe Biden offered the possibility of legalizing millions of undocumented immigrants in the United States. They all talked a big game. But when it comes to actually getting it done, that's proven to be quite the challenge. The attack of September 11th, 2001 derailed Bush's plan to legalize 3 million undocumented individuals, mainly Mexican agricultural workers. In 2013, the Senate approved a bipartisan immigration reform bill that included a pathway to citizenship for millions of undocumented immigrants, but it was dismissed in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives. In 2021, the House of Representatives passed two bills sent by the Joe Biden White House. In the Senate, controlled by Democrats with only 51 votes, they faced Republican rejection. The article also talks about how for a long time, Mexico was at the top of the list when it came to undocumented immigration, but that's been changing. In 2007, this figure was nearly 7 million during the administration of George W. Bush, according to the estimates from the Pew Research Center. Since then, the undocumented population from Mexico has decreased every year. Between 2007 and 2021, the figure decreased by almost 3 million people, reaching 4.1 million in the latest available estimate. In 2017, for the first time, the sum of immigrants from other nationalities surpassed those coming from Mexico. So why has the number of Mexican immigrants specifically been steadily going down? Well, as usual, there are several factors involved. For starters, in the recession of 2008 and 2009, many immigrants returned to Mexico. As you can imagine, this is because during those years, many authorized Mexicans working in construction and housing lost their jobs, while many undocumented individuals failed to find employment in the country. Another factor is that there's been a drop in the birth rate. Back in the 1970s, the average woman in Mexico was having around 7 kids. Fast forward to 2000, and that number has dropped to just over 2 kids. Then, by 2010, there was a noticeable decline in the number of young Mexicans entering the workforce at ages 16 or 17. This shift had a big impact on the labor market in Mexico. See, when there's a lot of young people entering the workforce, there's more pressure to create jobs. But with fewer young people, that pressure decreased. Plus, at the same time, the job market in the US wasn't as hot as before due to a drop in unemployment. So basically, there was less incentive for people to migrate from Mexico to the US for work. In 2010, there was also a shift in how immigrants were dealt with along the southwest border of the US. Instead of just sending them back, there was a move towards deportation, which is sadly a legal process. This meant that those caught trying to re-enter the country without permission could face criminal penalties. This change made it riskier and more costly for people to enter the US from Mexico, especially if they were doing so clandestinely. Plus, more Mexican migrants were opting for legal channels like getting an H-2A visa for temporary agricultural work in the US. As a result, fewer people felt the need to migrate through other channels. But it's important to note that the undocumented population isn't static. While some new immigrants arrive, others leave due to limited opportunities without legal documentation. Some choose to return home to be closer to family and friends, while others are deported. According to the Migration Policy Institute, over 4.7 million people have been deported, and tragically, some have even lost their lives in the process. In recent years, we've seen a decline in the number of undocumented Mexican immigrants coming to the US, but there's been a rise in immigrants from Central America and Venezuela. This shift is driven by various factors like poverty, violence, climate change, government corruption, and social inequalities in their home countries. Since around 2013, there's been a significant increase in migration from Central America, with many people seeking asylum in the US. And it's not just Central Americans. We're also seeing migrants from the Caribbean, South America, North Africa, and the Middle East joining these caravans. They're all fleeing similar issues: poverty, hunger, violence, and the effects of climate change. However, it's important to note that these reasons alone don't qualify for asylum in the United States. Now, when these new immigrants arrive, they often rely on the support of family and friends to get started. In the case of countries like Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador, there have already been significant populations in the US for around 25 years. But here's an interesting twist. While many undocumented immigrants from the Northern Triangle cross the border through Mexico, those coming from farther regions often exceed the allowed time of stay established by their visas. For example, in India, many people receive work authorizations and other entry permits to the US, but some end up overstaying their visas. It's a complex web of migration patterns that's constantly evolving. When it comes to states with the highest number of undocumented individuals since 1990, California, Texas, Florida, and New York top the list. In particular, Texas has seen a staggering increase of over 1 million undocumented immigrants since 1990. Now, after Mexico, The most common nationalities among undocumented immigrants are from countries like El Salvador, India, Guatemala, and Honduras. Salvadorans in particular make up the majority in states like DC, Maryland, South Dakota, and Washington. On the other hand, Indians are more concentrated in states like New Hampshire, New Jersey, and Ohio compared to populations from other countries. Now, despite border crossings reaching historic levels in the last 2 years following the pandemic-induced pause, experts like Passel suggest that this stable trend will likely continue. In other words, we're not expecting to see any major increase in unauthorized immigration from Mexico anytime soon. As we wrap up today's episode, we've delved into the intricate dynamics of undocumented immigration in the United States. From the decline in numbers to the shifting demographics and the myriad of factors driving these trends, it's clear that this is a complex issue with no simple solutions. We've explored how economic conditions, political discourse, and changing policies shape the landscape of migration. From the peaks of promise to the valleys of uncertainty, the journey of undocumented immigrants is one of resilience and determination. So as we sign off, let's remember to approach these conversations with empathy and understanding. Let's strive to amplify the voices of those whose stories often go unheard. And let's continue our journey towards a more inclusive and compassionate society. Until next time, stay curious, stay compassionate, and keep exploring the world around you. I'm Kevin Munoz, and as always, feel free to send me a voicemail through my website, latinomecaneo.org, by simply clicking the purple send voicemail pop-up and just start recording your thoughts or any interesting topic that you'd like to see covered. I might just feature it in the next episode. And for those of you on Patreon, I'll see you there. Otherwise, I'll see you all in next week's episode. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a family or a friend and rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinAmericaNeo. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, latinamericaneo.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time.